I think he was quite frustrated, you know, the little man, that when footy's not there, he doesn't know what to do. So he was on Zooms every day, contacting us all, making sure we're all connected. He's as up as about as anyone, and I think he's embracing the challenge, and I think he's really looking forward to how the season looks at the moment.
Isaac Smith talking about Alistair Clarkson on SEN Breakfast this morning with Gary and Tim. Sam Mitchell, Hawthorn assistant coach, has been good enough to join me. Great to have you, Sam. Thanks for your time.
No, very good to be on. Good to talk a little bit of footy.
You know, I was talking about you with Greg Williams was talking about you with me a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if you had that conversation filter through to you at all, but we were talking about two-sided players and the death of them a little bit. Can I pick your brain on that one before we move on?
Of course you can. He was very good on both sides, wasn't he?
He was, and you were as well, and it kept people guessing. No one knew which side you were going to go, both by hand and foot. Do you still see that as being a teachable, or when you get them at senior clubs now, what you've got, you've got?
Oh, it's reasonably difficult to learn it at, you know, when you're already at an AFL club, certainly to the level that you're not sure which foot you are and you don't have a preference as such. But I think you can always improve it a little bit. I think that the most important thing really is not actually being able to kick on both feet. It's just being able to get out of trouble on both sides. So if you're running towards your left, you can find a way to get out of trouble. Same thing on your right. So if you have that in your kit bag, it doesn't necessarily need to be your foot. You can be clever with the banana and it can be just as effective.
And how many kicks would you have had as a kid per day, or even as a teenager, late teens and your early days playing in the VFL, per day, as opposed to what they have now?
Thousands. I mean, you just have thousands and thousands and thousands of kicks. No one was counting them back then. I think it's a little bit overrated how much people even count them now, our players, unless they start getting sore or the balls get a little bit heavy because of the dew on the ground or that sort of thing. Our players still have plenty of license to kick the ball unless they've had a history of certain types of injury where obviously you limit it. But for the most part, players can kick as much as they like.
So you don't think that there needs to be an increase? When you become a senior coach in a couple of years, you won't be increasing ball in hand time compared to, say, meeting time?
It depends. I mean, each model, each training model has their own strengths and weaknesses. For mine, in most of my meetings, I try to encourage the players to bring a ball. So in most of the midfield meetings, you would see most of the players would have a ball in their hand, just flicking it around to themselves. While I'm talking, I might distract them from the boring old coach up the front anyway.
And is it nice to be around blokes like Clarko and the boys again?
Yeah, it's been good. It's great to be out on the training track, but as soon as we come back in, you go back to all the protocols with the safe distancing and all those things. So it is a great and then level of frustration by the same token where, you know, all you want to do is run up and give high fives and cuddles and hugs. And obviously we still need to respect all the other laws. So you do see each other and you're desperate to talk and get into it. And there's a little bit of a challenge around what's okay and what's not still, but it is very, very good to see everyone's faces other than, not through a computer screen.
Things that are important to coaches are often not necessarily that important to the public and vice versa. I get a lot of calls on this program and a lot of texts about the shorter quarters. It seems to be something that really agitates people, that they see that the game is a war of attrition and it should be the full-length quarters and they don't like the reduction. Do you think that's been overplayed a little, or do you think it is an issue? The war of attrition should be still part of footy.
I agree. I think that war of attrition is an important part of our game. I think when you look at what makes our game unique, I know I've heard it many times said before, but it's played on the biggest field for the longest time with the most players. So as soon as you start to alter one of those, you do start to change the fundamentals of the game. And having the game go for quite a long time, it seems to be something that in a lot of other sports they've changed. You know, cricket, for instance, the 2020 has really taken off. But our game seems to be one that holds true to the traditionalists, and they like to have the longer games. And whether or not we need it for this season is up to the AFL and brighter minds than mine to decide. But I think it's going to be certainly different for us as coaches to see how that pans out. And then the players are going to have to play slightly differently. And to be fair, we actually don't know what that's going to look like at this point.
No, that's true. I'm more thinking of 2021 when you reassess what a real season is going to look like again, whether you do consider having extended interchange benches, or whether you say, no, no, let's make it a war of attrition and you only have limits, and you have limits on interchange as opposed to unlimited interchange?
Yeah, I probably am. I'm not sure what the official lines are from Hawthorn, but I quite like the four on the bench. I didn't love the sub rule. If you get an injury, then that's bad luck. You have to deal with those things, is my personal preference. I know other people will think differently, and it depends what happens with list sizes as well. If they become shorter, then what changes that's going to make. But I've really enjoyed the 18 and 4 for the majority of my career. There was that sub for a short period of time, but the 18 and 4's been pretty well established now.
And unlimited or limit interchange? Are you a fan of capping it?
It's interesting. To me, the only thing that was wrong with the interchange was how much talk there was about it. If you went to a game, you wouldn't even notice it. It's only on TV when the cameraman goes to that all the time that you notice the interchange itself. I mean, that when I went to a game of footy, it wasn't something that you ever looked at. So whether or not there's a cap, I think time will tell. I don't think we need to worry too much about interchange. I think it's something that we spend an enormous amount talking about, which has very little influence over the game.
The game itself, when you resume, no crowd, obviously, so generating enthusiasm. Clarko's a pretty inventive kind of guy. He likes to do things a little differently. Has he got something special organised so the boys keep themselves up?
We haven't got too much into the detail of that sort of thing. I did hear Isaac Smith come on just beforehand, and he was very, very good against Brisbane in our round one game, where he was up and about and energetic. And I do think those exuberant type of players are worth their weight in gold when there's no crowd. Whenever there's a training session, it's a little bit wet and a little bit cold, and perhaps the motivation isn't quite as high. You need those players who can find a way, and certainly Isaac's been very, very good at that through this period.
Is it going to be easier to yell out instructions from the bench, or do you think we might see more instinct in the game because of the less coaching and the different game that we're going to get? Will instinct play a bigger part?
Hopefully most coaches try to get instinct as much as possible into the game. I think it is going to be reasonably easy to get changes made. From a coach's point of view, you can just yell out from the bench and people can hear you all over the place, which is a bit of a change for what we've had the last couple of years since the runner has been restricted. So I think coaches will have an easier say on the game. But having said that, there's going to be less coaches watching. So less coaches during the week doing the work to prepare players for games. So, certainly our instruction to our players is the most important thing in this season is to play the best football that you can. And that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. It should be the same in every season. But without all the extra stuff that comes in a football club, we have limited time at the club, limited resources compared to what we have had. Really, the focus has become on how can you be the best player and how can we be the best team that we can possibly have. And if that, means that we have to make some shortcuts in areas that we have in the past when we've been more heavily resourced, then so be it. But we try to limit how much that's going to influence on field. And our players have really embraced that. They've been really strong at that so far.
So how much of a gut feel kind of coach are you? Do you rely on the numbers that are given to you by your IT guys, or do you like to have a gut feel, go at sort of reading something that the numbers might not be saying?
It's an interesting one. It's a bit of a trap. If you look at the numbers first, quite often it tarnishes your gut feel. So my general habit is to try and not look at the numbers until I get a feel for the game. I make a summation of what I think's happening, and then I check it off against the numbers, and sometimes I'm completely wrong. But for the most part, when you watch a game, you feel like, gee, we couldn't get it out of our back half in that quarter. And then, that might have been my instinct. But then you look at the inside 50s and it's 10 each. You go, well, maybe I wasn't too right on that one. Usually what will happen is they've had 18 inside 50s and you've only had four. And so, yeah, well, we had real trouble getting it out of our back 50. So you try and use your gut feel first and then check it off against the numbers.
And do you know where Geelong is? Have you been down here much?
Yes, been down to Geelong plenty of times. Spent some time there. I played two games there in my personal career, and one and one. So played my 50th game there, which was not very memorable. We lost by about 10 goals, if my memory serves me correctly. But that was yuck. But the last game we won, we had a win, I think about 2006.
And I presume you're all looking forward to the challenge. You've obviously coming down the highway and showing that you can get it done anywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to play Geelong in Geelong, you want to do it with no crowd. I think the Geelong crowd is perhaps the most passionate just about in the league other than the Hawks fans. So if you're going to play there, you want to do it with no crowd so they don't have that advantage. And to be fair, hopefully we can get some crowds later on in the year. So you want to play as many away games as you can at this period rather than later on in the year when hopefully there are some crowds and the home ground advantage might be more significant.
Great to have a chat to you, Sam. I really appreciate you joining me. I'll let you get back to your business. But talk again soon, hopefully.
No worries. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to being back out there again. The boys will be good to have a bit of content to talk about. I'm sure you've been doing it tough for the last couple of months.
That's why we get people like you on, to give us some good stuff. The text machine's going off here with Sam Mitchell speaks the truth. Love what he has to say. That's from Brett. So it's good to have people like you on, Sam, with a level head as opposed to mine.
Well, we all have to play our part. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, Sam Mitchell, joining me.